Absolutely, Steve. And how about yours?
Everybody's great here. Thank you for asking, Phil. Appreciate that. Well, this is a Penn State football team. I know Jack Ham and I have said we are so anxious to watch play because we think they have so much. So let's get to a couple of basics, and then I'm going to get to a couple of players. What's your basic overview of Penn State heading into this one?
Anybody in the Big Ten is going to knock off Ohio State. You got to think it's Penn State. And, you know, I love the job that James Franklin's been doing building this team. I remember going over the team with them his first year. You know, guys in the two deep were, you know, a couple of walk-ons here and there, and it was a thin team. And now you go over the team with Coach Franklin, it takes a good hour. We're going over every player on the team. And yet the three deep is not just players, but highly touted players. So this is an extremely deep team, talented team, experienced team. I'm excited about this year's Penn State squad.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I know that Jack Ham and I, when we have talked about, in fact, he's literally calling me right now. I'm not joking. He's actually calling on my phone. When we would go to practice in the 2000s, he'd say, "Hey, let's go and take a look at the third team linebackers first thing," because you know he wants to watch the linebackers. Well, right. then when we went through the troubled times, he said, "Boy, they can't get anybody in that first team hurt." Now we're back to looking at the third team guys again. See, that's how it's changed. And that goes with what you're saying.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, like I said, going over the team with Coach Franklin through the years, you know, each of the 7 years he's been there, this is by far the deepest team I've seen on the field at every position. And even the running back spot, you go there and you can go probably 5-6 deep at running back and with talented guys. I'm not talking about, you know, a walk-on that's on the depth chart. I'm talking about talent at each of these spots that I'm talking about.
All right, so not only do you do overall rankings on teams and take a good in-depth look at them, but also individual. So let's start with Micah Parsons because obviously he'll be the guy most people talk about.
Yeah, Micah Parsons probably the best linebacker in college football.
And,
I get a kick out of the fact in 2018 he didn't start a game, huh? You know, but he's the leading tackler. We know he's on the field most of the game, but you can't start a true freshman, right? Yeah. But last year, how about 109 tackles, 5 sacks? And if you're talking to NFL guys, they'll tell you he's a top linebacker in the country. He's everything you want in a linebacker. He's 6'3", 244. You know, he's got the size you want. He's got the speed. He's just everything you want in a linebacker. He'll probably be the top linebacker taken in next year's draft.
So let's flip it to the other side now. What are your thoughts on tight end Pat Freiermuth?
Could be the best tight end in the country.
Yep.
And I'm on the John Mackey Award Committee.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we definitely look at tight ends at the start of the year. I got to tell you, I put Pat Freiermuth as my first-team All-American tight end coming into the season. He's your complete tight end. He's got soft hands. He's a leader. And he's a guy that's a good blocker, which we take into account on the Mackey. We don't want those H-back types that are split out half the time and catching 70 balls. We want a true tight end, and this guy is a true tight end. 6'5", 259, can block, can go get the football, and probably the most complete tight end in the country.
Yeah, in fact, if you're looking in the NFL, I'll give you a name that is the opposite of that. Cooper Kupp, for example. Yeah, he plays the H-back, but they split him out almost all the time.
We get knocked sometimes on the Mackey because we eliminate those guys. You know, the types that are spread out, more of a flex tight end that catch 75, and people are like, well, this guy had 75 catches. Like, well, he's not a tight end. He can't even block a defensive end. Pat Freiermuth can block a defensive end.
Exactly. So obviously, with the offensive line, probably the deepest offensive line I'd say Penn State's had since 2008, in my opinion. But behind it is Sean Clifford. You and I both know, and I'm sure James brought it up, that he wasn't completely healthy at the end of last season. What can he mean to what Penn State does this year?
Huge. You know, having a veteran quarterback is a key to a lot of teams, and especially this year, Steve, because of the lack of spring practices in a lot of places, you want the teams that have the best continuity. And this is a great year for Penn State to be an experienced team with an experienced quarterback. And you touched on it. At the end of the year last year, he got banged up, and then Will Levis even came in against Ohio State. Looked pretty good in that game, and then not so good the next week. But Clifford is a guy that's got everything. And he's probably a little more athletic than people realize. And he's got he had a great offseason. He's got the size, decent size at 6'2", 219. And I like the fact that last year he hit, you know, 59% of his passes, 23-7 ratio.
Yeah.
Means you're making good decisions on the field. So there's a lot to like about Sean Clifford. I don't think he's going to be first round draft pick type of quarterback, but I like Sean Clifford.
Yeah. What about the running back spot, in your opinion? It's Journey Brown, Noah Cain, and also Devin Ford that a lot of people don't talk about because he didn't get the reps the other two got.
Yeah, Ford's got a huge upside. Yeah. I mean, he's 5'11", 210, and he can run, he's smart, does a lot of things really well. He can catch the ball in the backfield, and, you know, you can even go deeper than that. There's three true freshmen coming in, and Kazeah Holmes, Kayvon Lee, and Tank Smith. All three of those guys could be the guys. So, I mean, this is really probably the least recruited of the six running backs they have is Journey Brown, the starter. Everybody else is one of those what I call VHTs. Journey Brown is a guy that was recruited naturally, but not as highly recruited as the other guys. Yet he's been highly productive. So I love that running back core this year.
Yeah, he came in as a guy who was known as a great sprinter, and then you watch him in practice, Phil, and all of a sudden you realize the guy runs between the tackles. That's where I think he's made a big plus in his movement upward. I want to ask about Ohio State now. Usually, when I look at Ohio State, the first item I look at is normally who goes. And enters into the NFL draft. And then I looked at Wyatt Davis. I was a little surprised he didn't go, but what does that do to their offensive line just by his mere presence there to go with the combination they have up front?
Yeah, three offensive linemen basically turned down the NFL. Yeah. I think Josh Myers, Wyatt Davis, Thayer Munford all could have gone, and yet once one of them opted to return, boom, boom, and Ryan Day had to be as happy as anybody right there when those three guys. Well, probably as happy as Justin Fields, their quarterback, because that's going to be great protection for them. And Ohio State, you know, I'm on the Joe Moore Award Committee for offensive line, and I always bounce my list off of those guys prior. I have Ohio State rated the number four offensive line in the country, and I didn't get any bounce back on that. So you are looking at three NFL caliber guys, and they've got, you know, probably left guard, the biggest question mark Ohio State has. I'm projecting Harry Miller steps in there, but it could be he or Paris Johnson or Matthew Jones. That's the one question they have on the offensive line, but that's a top-notch unit. Big difference from last year.
Yeah, it is a big difference from last year. No question about that in the way they play. I really was big on J.K. Dobbins. I think we're pretty much on the same page when it comes to what we thought of J.K. Dobbins. But the transfer from Oklahoma, what does that do to the backfield, especially because Master Teague would not have been able to go during the course of the spring. We know that. So what does that mean?
I think it was necessary because that's really my biggest question mark on this year's Ohio State team is running back and running back depth. Now, you know, Sermon coming in is nice. Master Teague, we don't know if he's going to be ready for the season or not with the Achilles. You got DeMario McCall could switch over from slot back. Marcus Crowley, Steel Chambers. But, I mean, last year they not only had J.K. Dobbins, they had a 100% Master Teague. So no matter who they hit you with, they were dangerous. That is my biggest question mark on Ohio State there. And ironically, I'm going to say it's their Achilles heel. If you get my drift.
Yeah, I get your drift. I get your drift. Because when Master did come in, you know, not many reps against Penn State in that Penn State game because Dobbins played so well. But Dobbins needed a break once in a while. Teague played really well, and yes, I get it, on the Achilles heel.
Yeah, he had 789 yards last year, 5.8 yards a carry. He was dynamic.
He was dynamic. I've got to get to Michigan here within this. Shea Patterson has held the fourth down at quarterback the last 2 years. The one element that surprised me about Jim Harbaugh and his tenure there has been so far his inability to actually recruit his own guy and then develop his own guy. Does he potentially have that now in Dylan McCaffrey, in your opinion?
Yeah, and I think McCaffrey and Milton battling it out for the job. Both guys, though, have the size you want. They've got the mobility you want. And I think they're going to be upgraded at the quarterback spot. I do think with Michigan, their window to win the Big Ten East was probably last year.
Yes.
Might have closed a little bit this year. They only have five returning starters on each side of the ball. I think the East is Ohio State, Penn State, and then it'll drop off to a Michigan and an Indiana. Watch out for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you about Indiana. Indiana's very quietly built some depth on that football team. And you know where I think they've built it? And I'd like your opinion on this, Phil. I think they built it in the trenches. Actually, I think they've always had skill guys.
Yeah, and you know the one thing about Indiana through the years, Steve, you probably remember Indiana maybe 20 years ago, they'd have linebackers that were like 200 pounds, 195.
Yes.
It was size in the defensive front seven. They had some players, but they always lacked size. These guys don't lack size. Their defensive tackles are 300 plus.
Yep.
Their defensive ends are 260. Their linebackers are 225, 230. This is a good size, deep defensive front seven. Tom Allen's doing a good job recruiting there. And even on the offensive line, they've got three guys that maybe even have NFL potential in Harry Kreider, Matthew Bedford, and Caleb Jones. So I agree with you 100%. Tom Allen's a defensive guy. You know he's going to try to build
yes.
the line of scrimmage. He's done that. This is a dangerous Indiana team that I think's got a chance of sneaking past Michigan this year.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that. I think I agree with you about that, especially with Michael Penix, a quarterback. He gives them a different dimension. I know Peyton Ramsey, I think, is going to help Northwestern.
You
know,
a lot.
Yeah. By the way, you want to know the irony, Phil? I was in Evanston. It was the last game I did. It was Penn State Northwestern. I'm in the lobby getting ready to go up to my room, grab my bag, go down. Who am I standing talking with in the lobby? Peyton Ramsey, who was there visiting to make his to make his commitment.
That is ironic. That is something.
And they're a good football team. They're on Penn State's schedule. What do you think of Northwestern? Because last year they could not move the ball, but they could stop you, especially with their linebackers.
Yeah, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because not a lot of people realize Northwestern had a good defense last year. They only gave up 336 yards per game. They got nine starters back on defense. Patty Fisher's in, what, his 15th year there at that linebacker spot? And, you know, they've got Sam Dup Miller, Ernest Brown up front, in the secondary, Greg Newsome at corner, J.R. Pace at safety. This is a very good Northwestern defense. And offensively, that was their problem. I mean, they're almost Rutgers-like on offense. They only averaged 16 points per game last year. Peyton Ramsey's a big upgrade. And then you look at the offensive line. Going over with Coach Fitzgerald, they're an offensive line that's solid. Rashawn Slater at left tackle, he's got a guy that could come out, or when he comes out this year, he could be a second-round pick. And the receiving core's improved. The running backs are solid. I've got Northwestern ranked as my number two most improved team in the country. And remember, Pat Fitzgerald was 15-1 in Big Ten play heading into last year?
Yes.
And so it's my typical stock market bounce where, I mean, everything that could go wrong went wrong last year. With that defense, they're going to be a contender in the West.
Yeah, I agree with that completely, because, you look, there are certain things that travel with you. Your defense travels with you. If you got a really good running game, it travels with you. Right, and
absolutely,
you know, and they've got that. A team that Penn State will eventually have to deal with in this thing is Nebraska. You can't will a team back to prominence. So you can't do that. So where is Nebraska on the road back, in your opinion?
Well, I'm going to say this, Steve. You know, I had Nebraska as my most improved team in the country last year. And if you go back and look at my last 15 most improved teams in the country, they all showed a lot of improvement.
They almost all panned out.
I'm a little bitter at Nebraska for disappointing me last year. But, you know, one of the main reasons why was probably quarterback play. Remember 2 years ago, Adrian Martinez was dynamic, had a great season as a freshman. You're like, wow, if he could do that as a freshman, what's he going to be like as a sophomore? And then he got banged up, and he was nowhere near what he was the previous year. The defense, they haven't been the black shirt defense for ages, Steve. No. And they're not going to be this year. They only have five starters back. The potential's there for Nebraska, but they're playing in a pretty tough West, and I was burned a little last year, so I was a little gun-shy with the Huskers this year.
Yeah, you know, but there's also been a lot of turnover there. I mean, that's the other part, too, because you track turnover. Look, a guy that would be probably a guy they want to get maybe 8 to 12 touches a game was J.D. Spielman, and he transferred out to TCU, and I think that's another setback for them.
Absolutely. Now, they do have Wandale Robinson,
who
was banged up last year.
Yep.
And I like Dedrick Mills at running back. And if Martinez – we have a lot of ifs here. If, then they could do something. But I'm going to wait to see it on the field this year.
Yeah. We know Iowa's been going through some off-the-field turmoil at this point. But on the field, they're going to have to replace a quarterback in Nate Stanley. When you look at Iowa, what do you see there, Phil?
They're a pretty talented team.
Yeah.
And Coach Ferentz was pleased with both Petras and Padilla. Says that Petras did a good job in the bowl prep. He's mature, committed, and a natural leader. So they're going to be okay at the quarterback position, and they have a lot of talent. And when you look at Iowa, you know, the one thing that stands out is last year, their three losses, 7, 5 2-points.
Yeah.
That means you're basically three plays away from being undefeated last year. They were really good. Now, my other question would be, what Kirk Ferentz do with the Big Ten schedule maker? They not only draw Ohio State and Penn State out of the East, they play them both on the road.
I know.
Oh, they play them both on back-to-back weeks. Oh, both Ohio State and Penn State are off a bye. Get serious. That's a pretty tough two-game stretch there. Other than that, they'd be a contender, I think, in the West. And I think they will be a contender. But that's how do you draw a schedule like that?
If I'm Gary Barta, I'm making a phone call saying, can I discuss something with you? just for a moment. I think a couple issues.
Yeah.
Who would you have in your Final Four when it's all said and done nationally, Phil?
Oh, I'm going way out on a limb here, Steve. I'm taking Ohio State and Big Ten.
Okay,
I'm going with Clemson in the ACC.
Yeah,
Alabama out of the SEC.
Can I write these down?
Yeah. Feel free.
Yeah.
Oklahoma out of the Big 12. So I'm sticking my neck way out there this year.
Okay. Phil, when did you become so daring?
I'm a risk taker. What can I say?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to throw one team out, though. I'll give you my number one surprise team, okay? A non-top 10 team, I think, can contend for the playoff.
Good.
And I'm going to go with Texas A&M. Now, last year when I'm talking to Jimbo Fisher and going over the team with him, two things really stood out. Number one, they're playing a hellacious schedule. As it was, they took on the number one Clemson when they were number one ranked, number one Alabama when they were number one, number one LSU. Okay, that's three number one teams in one season, plus the number four and the number eight team.
In fact, I want to point out, though, you and I talked about this last year. That was the one thing we brought up about Texas A&M is that they could be really good and not have a great record. We said that.
Right.
You and I talked about that.
And the other thing that stood out to me when I'm talking to Jimbo, they didn't have any seniors on the team.
Right.
And it's like, wow, this is a young team playing a brutal schedule, so they may not be better record-wise. Now, what happened this year? Well, guess what? 17 returning starters, a veteran senior quarterback in Kellen Mond.
Yep.
They've got my number 13 offensive line, number 12 defensive line, number 9 linebackers, number 6 DBs. And their schedule drops to number 66. They might play one top 10 team this year. So much better schedule, much more experience. And LSU had to go through Tuscaloosa to win that West last year.
Sure did.
A&M's got to go through Tuscaloosa this year. But if they can get that one game, watch out, A&M could sneak into the playoff like LSU did last year. Except it'd be a bigger thing because A&M's not going to be in anybody's top 10.
Right, exactly. It would be one of those thunderous moments for the SEC. Phil, it is always a pleasure. I can't thank you enough for the time that you give us. So generous.
Yeah, we should do this again, Steve. It was a lot of fun. I don't think we touched on a lot of topics, so let's do this again in a couple of weeks.
Let's do it in a couple of weeks. I agree with that because there's a lot of topics we have to get to outside the Big Ten.
Phil. Yeah, and can I throw one thing out, Steve?
Please.
If you're out there looking for my magazine
this year, please. We did
two things completely different. We really limited the distribution. So we went from printing 200,000 copies to 50,000 copies. And the only places you can get it are Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. So if you go to Barnes & Noble and Books A Million, there are exclusive dealers this year. Or you could go to our website, which is philsteele.com. But those are the only places. So don't bother going to Walgreens and Publix and all those other places out there. Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, philsteele.com.
And we got two Barnes & Noble outlets right here in the State College.
Awesome.
Area. Perfect.
Awesome.
Phil, thank you. Look forward to talking again in a couple weeks. That was great.
Sounds great, Steve. Looking forward to it as well. Thank you.